Good morning. Lord's blessings on each one of us. Very good to see everyone here this morning. Well, the blessed day, Friday night and yesterday, right? I think everyone enjoyed it. Ladies weren't there, but the dads and the boys were there. Okay, maybe I'll just write on the board here a bit of a continuation. The work of the Holy Spirit. Could we kneel together to pray before we move forward? Father in heaven, we are grateful to be together this morning. We thank you that we could again lift our voices to you. We thank you for the testimonies of changed lives. God, thank you for changing our lives, for making us more Christ-like. Thank you, Lord, that you have brought us together again. And we ask that this morning, as we're here, would you, by your Holy Spirit, speak, convict, and change us into the image of Christ. Lord, would you please put your burden very clearly upon my heart and help me to communicate in a way that people can understand. And I ask, Lord, that your Spirit would take things way beyond the words that are said and transform our lives. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you so much. Lord, we do ask especially this morning for those who are gone from among us. We ask, Lord, for Jarias, for Joel's. We ask, Lord, for Josh and Ruth. We ask, Lord, that you would come and strengthen them and put your purposes in their hearts and help them to be faithful in the areas where you've called them. Be with us here in Christ's name. Amen. Work of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to say that the work of the Holy Spirit, if we could put it all into a little nutshell, it's to make us more Christ-like. Would we identify with that? Even on a morning like this, when the word is being preached and the Bible is opened and, you know, and the Bible is read and the word is preached, the Spirit of God comes and he puts his finger on areas in our life to make us more Christ-like. Isn't that a blessing? That is a great blessing. It's to make us more Christ-like. I have been considering various things that the Spirit of God does in our lives, and I'd like to just again look at various verses that talk about the work of the Spirit in our life. And maybe before we go too much further here, I'm gonna make a little man here. And one of the beautiful things that happens at conversion, and if you were listening to the testimonies here this morning, is when a person becomes born of the Spirit of God, God comes and puts his Spirit in their heart and in their mind. There's a transformation that happens. There's something that happens in the heart. There's a renewing, and God puts a deposit there. And at salvation, the ultimate thing that happens is, you know, he takes our sins away, but not only does he take our sins away, he puts his spirit inside of us. He puts that spirit inside of us. And when that spirit is inside of us, then our affections change, our desires change, our passions change, all of those things change from within. And all of a sudden, the things that are coming out are different. Like Brother Larry was saying, after 2 weeks, the man that he worked with said, "Hey, can I ask you a personal question? What happened to you?" Okay? There's a transformation that takes place. So we want to talk about the continued work of the Holy Spirit, not just in salvation, but the continued work of the Spirit in our hearts. Now, if you want to turn with me, I'd like to maybe first begin in the book of Ephesians. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians, chapter 4. We're going to read in verse 30. Ephesians, chapter 4. We're going to read in verse 30, where it says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." I want to stop there. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Can someone tell me, in your own words, what it means to grieve? What does it mean to grieve? Yes. To make sad. Good word. Other descriptions of to grieve. To hurt. Okay? I want to just soon give you a little illustration. But I'd like for us to consider, here's the Spirit of God in our hearts, and He is there to guide us into all truth. And is there to make us more Christ-like. And depends what we do, we grieve the Holy Spirit. And I'd like for you to just consider with me. I'm going to give you a little object lesson, okay? Benji, can you come up here? Okay. This is my son, Benji. You know him well. He's a blessing. We enjoy each other. But I want to give you an object lesson, okay? Hey, Benji, can you go out to the back door? I just walk out back there to the back. Hey, Benji, can you stop and come back here? Hey, Benji, can you stop, please? Hey, Benji. Can you imagine what that does to my heart as a dad when I say his name and he doesn't turn around, he just keeps going? He doesn't stop. I ask him to come back and he just keeps on going. He totally disregards what I've told him. And you as dads, you know what that does to you? It brings grief into your heart. Not only is there grief there, but all of a sudden, there's a distance, and my ability to speak into Benji's heart or to speak to Benji is no longer there. Do you follow what I'm saying? And now listen to these words. You can come back in, Benji. Thank you for that. Listen to these words in Ephesians 4, verse 30. It says these words, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." It says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Now, there's a lot of commands. There's a lot of direction. There's all kinds of things in Scripture that there's directives given to us. And we know them. And from time to time, all of a sudden, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God within us, God speaks and He puts His finger on an area in our life And he wants us to respond to that. Okay? And in the next verse here, we're just going to look at a couple. There's just a couple here that are specifically mentioned, but it's by no means an all-inclusive list. But he mentions these words. He says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." And that's just a whole nother message where it talks about being sealed unto the day of redemption. But he goes on to say, "And let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Okay? And he's using these words directly in conjunction to grieving the Holy Spirit of God. Directly in conjunction to that. So if we are involved in these kind of things, the Spirit of God will put his finger on these areas in our life, and if we don't respond, he draws back. He can't continue to take us on until we respond to those areas in our life. I'd like to just very briefly look at some of these words. He uses the word bitterness. Bitterness, if I could explain it this way, bitterness is a little bit like taking some lemon juice and pouring it into your mouth, right? Taking a big drink and we go, and we make our mouth, we wrinkle our mouth, and, you know, I saw a picture. There's a man that went and poured some lemon juice into a horse's mouth, and you should have seen the horse's mouth. Just the bitterness he was really making his mouth go. Well, okay, that's bitterness. It's uncomfortable, and there's many situations in life and things that we face that haven't been pleasant, haven't been good, and we've allowed that bitterness to settle down into our hearts. And the Bible says that if we allow that bitterness to sit there and to stay there, those are things that grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Here's another one. Wrath. Wrath, the definition of wrath is passion or fierceness. Sometimes there's things that happen and there's something that rises up within us with passion and fierceness that's put on other people. And the Bible says that those things grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Here's another one, anger. Anger specifically relates to indignation and vengeance. Indignation and vengeance. It's not only passion and fierceness, it's a desire to get back at someone. And it says, Tumult. Clamor. Clamor is tumult. Evil speaking, especially against God. It says that these things ought to be put away with all malice. Malice simply means badness and naughtiness. We know quite clearly what badness and naughtiness is with our children, right? Let me tell you, sometimes badness and naughtiness, there's us as adults have some badness and naughtiness too. And that's what malice means. Isn't that right, David? That's how it works. That's how it works. I want to tell you a little story on this whole idea of grieving the Spirit of God. I'm going to say about 6 months ago, I I was at a furniture show and just walking around. I believe it was the second day, things had all slowed down. And once everything slowed down, I like to sort of make my rounds and say hi to the other vendors that are there. And I went through there, and there's a man there. He's a local man in the community. I know him from years gone by. I've never gotten to know him real well on a personal level. But as I walked through there, I stopped to say hi, and I could tell by the expression on his face that there's some things going on. I didn't have to wait very long. I just chit-chatted a little bit and stood there, and then he started sharing. And he just opened his heart, and he said this way, he said, "You know, Mark," he said, "I've been having the most difficult time as a parent than I've ever had." He said this way, he said, "My wife and I, you know, we have," and I forget how many children, and he said, "our oldest son," he said, "our oldest son, he was growing up," and he said, "I felt we had a very good relationship with him," and he said, "we shared a lot," and not only that, he said, we'd sit there and we'd talk, and he said, "my wife and I made a commitment that we want our family to grow up to live godly lives, and whatever changes we need to make in our home, we're willing to do that." He said, "if I need to sell my business, if I need to move to another community," he said, "whatever I need to do, we made a commitment." And he said, "we talked about these things with our son." And he said, "our son said, 'no, Dad,' he said, 'I'm willing to stand up against bad company, against other things. I'm willing to do that.'" But he said, he said, about 6 months ago, or was it 9 months ago, you know, prior to that, I forget the specific details, but he said, "our son got into some bad company." And he said, "today, our son is rebellious." And he said, "me as a dad," he said, "I have cried, I have wept, I have fasted, I have prayed." And he said, "Mark, I would be willing to do anything for the salvation of my son." And he stood there and tears coming down his cheeks. And I like to just say that that is the picture of God in heaven. When he comes and he puts his spirit inside of us, and he wants to lead us and guide us into all truth, and then something comes up and we totally disregard what the Spirit of God has told us. You know, we do that sometimes, right, brothers? We do that sometimes. There's times that the Spirit of God comes and he puts his finger on areas in our life and we disregard it. But I'd like to just tell you that that picture of that Father that I just painted for you, that is the picture of our Heavenly Father in his love and his desire for us to become more Christ-like and to yield every area of our life to him. That's the picture of him. And this is what it says. It says, "and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." Brothers, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. I remember years ago, as a young person, there are some of us youth that were after church on a Sunday afternoon. We were on our way to Harmon Home, and some of you know where Harmon Home is, up here by Brewster, close to Brewster. And there's, I'm not sure how many carloads of us were traveling down the road. And you know how it goes sometimes if there's a bunch of youth together and there's some foolishness and this and that. I specifically remember in the foolishness of my heart, you know, I was converted, I was serving the Lord, but I had a foolish moment. And there was some people walking down the road, and I don't know what made me do this, but it was out of the, I'm just going to say, the foolishness that sometimes comes. I waved to them in a way that wasn't just a nice wave. It was more of a mocking wave. And after I, you know, it's just vividly stamped on my mind. After I was passed, my heart smote me. I knew that I had grieved the Spirit of God by the mockery in my own heart. I just clearly remember that. I knew I had grieved the Spirit of God by what I just did. Not only that, I had the privilege of half an hour later, one of the other youth coming and just asking, you know, what spirit were you really waving with? Was that really a kind wave? Okay. Brothers and sisters, you know the Spirit of God wants to lead and guide us into all truth. But many times we disregard. And the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. We could also look at some Bible examples. Peter is one of those. Peter is one of those who denied the Lord three times. Just blatantly denied God. And it's very clear that after he did that, the Spirit of God, after he was confronted, and the Spirit of God prompted him, he went out and the Bible says that he wept bitterly. There was a repentance there. There was a clear repentance for what he had done. When the Spirit of God wants to show us things and we disregard and we turn away, we can't move on. And unless we come and we're willing to yield our hearts to repentance, it doesn't work. Here's another thing in regards to the Spirit of God. Maybe I could just say it this way. This next one I want to look at is the guidance of the Spirit in making decisions. The guidance of the Spirit of God in making decisions. If you want to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8, I want to read in verse 14 where it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And maybe before we go too much further in this whole idea of the Lord leading us, I would like to just say that God will never lead a person contrary to his will. There's no way that God can lead us in making decisions and various things that come up. There's no way that God can lead us unless we are at the place where there is a full surrender of our will. Right? Okay? If there is a full surrender, That's when God can come and he can guide us. If we have an agenda, like Balaam did, if we have an agenda like Balaam did, it doesn't work. We can't be led. We can't be guided. And so, how do we find God's will? And we're specifically going to be talking here about trying to sense the Spirit of God in making decisions and finding our way. Now, maybe a good place to start would be to give a negative. I remember, I'm going to say about 15 years ago, we lived in the house next door here, and we attended here to church. And there's a family attending here at that time. They attended only a short time. I'm not sure, was it 8 months, I believe. It was a very short period of time. And it seemed like the husband was very mixed up. In fact, they bumped around in about half a dozen different churches after they left here, and then he ended up separating from his wife, and things just, you know, things are at a very bad place. But all that to say, I remember him coming to me all excited. And he said, Mark, he said, I know God is leading me, and I know God's just so close to me, and God talks to me. And he said, just the other day, he said, I had lost something. And he said, I was working, and he said, God showed me over by the church and right in the grass, and he showed me, and I forget what it was, he showed me the thing laying out there right in the grass, and God showed me exactly where it was, and he was at work. Now, is that the type of thing that we're talking about when we talk about God leading us into all truth and God leading us and helping to make decisions? I'm not here to say that that type of thing will never happen, okay? But when I heard that and we continued to talk, I could tell that there is some mystical thing going on way beyond what I see in Scripture and way beyond what's right. And it wasn't very long that those things very clearly revealed themselves, okay? Very clearly revealed itself. When we talk about sensing God's will, and maybe I'll share with you a little story here, and it's pretty personal, and it's our family thing, okay? Okay, but I'll give you a story to help us relate, okay? You know, about 6 months ago, you know, when I received a phone call from, I even forget who it was, from Pennsylvania, and they said, hey, we have a need for some young men. We have a need for some young men over in Tanzania. And we talked a while, heard about the needs, and I blessed them, and you know what happened? Immediately my mind went to our boys, and it's probably not a possibility. We've got too much busyness going on, you know. That was my thought. It was. I didn't give it any consideration. Okay? And so I didn't even talk to the children about it at home. We made this little note and came to church and made this grand announcement, you know. Hey, there's a need over in Tanzania. And is there any young men here? Any young men that would be open to considering going over to Zanzibar? You know. Okay? And, well, I wasn't seriously praying about our family. I wasn't about that. I mean, it just wasn't close to it, but I mean, that wasn't a part of my considerations. I made the announcement in church, and guess what? A week and a half later, Josh calls me one day, and he says, Dad, he said, Dad, when you announced that in church, he said, I didn't give it just too much thought, but he said, as a week and a half has gone on, he said, I just can't shake it. He said, it's not that I just have such a desire to go. I'm very open to going, and I'm not pushing to go, but there's just something there. Okay? Okay, that's what we're talking about. You know what I mean? That's what we're talking about. It's just when that thing went out, it's very obvious that the Holy Spirit of God came and he just sort of put his finger on Josh's heart. Just put his finger on it. And there would have been an ability to just sort of, you know, push it aside or just, you know, just keep on, you know, all kinds of stuff, right? But there's something that came and just put his finger there. And that was the nudging of the Holy Spirit of God, right? It wasn't any other thing. It wasn't that Josh was home just dreaming and itching to go to Africa. That was not the case. You know, in years gone by, we've talked about those things. You know, we've been open to those types of things. Yeah, but it wasn't that there was just this push from us or him to be going over there. But there's something that just sort of came and put the finger on that specific area. And this is what he said. He said, Dad, I just can't shake it. You need to know about it. Okay, you need to know about it. Okay. So we're considering, let me come back here, the guidance of the Spirit in making decisions. Okay? We're talking here about making decisions, and I'm going to have to sort of quickly finish up here since we're not intending to go 3 hours here. But there's something about the Spirit of God just coming and putting his finger on something. And then the question comes, where does this nudging come from? Is it our flesh? Is it the Spirit of God? Or what is it that's prompting me? You know, I'm just going to say that many of us here have been prompted or have got these urges and feelings, and maybe it's just been flesh, right? How do we sort through that? How do we sort through in making decisions, whether it's just our flesh or whether it's actually God putting his finger on something in our life? How do we sort through that? First of all, I'd like for us to consider that if it's from God, it will never contradict the Word of God. Never, ever. Never, ever. In fact, many times it'll line up with Scripture. Or God will use a Scripture to make it more real in giving us direction. But it'll never contradict. Here's another thing for us to consider with that, is that if this is from God, it will line up and it'll be in correspondence to the other authorities that are in our life. Right? It'll line up. And for young people, it'll be, your parents and the church. There's church authority, there's a church, and there's father/ husband, it'll be clear on those levels, right? And if those things aren't clear, then somehow maybe we're not hearing right, or maybe it's the wrong timing, or things aren't clear. But God uses various things to bring things to a place of us of confirming, yet, yes, this is from God. Now, I say this carefully, and I lift the thing of authority up pretty high, but I also recognize that there are times when we face situations that we, whether it's church, for example, that the direction that a church is going, that we see that that is not something that we can support, and it's going against Scripture. And then there's a time for us to make a move and put ourselves under an authority that we can see that is Christ-like, and that we can give ourselves under that, and not just be out in limbo. But let me just go on and finish my little story here. And I'm just going to use this because it's all fresh. We're all aware of this whole situation with Josh being in Tanzania. After he said what he did, and he said, "Dad, I want you to know it's there." Then this is what it said. He said, "Dad," he said, "I just need, you just need to know about it. And if you want me to go," he said, "I'm open to go." And he said, "Dad, if you want me to stay home, I'm open to stay home. So now it's in your hands and whatever you decide." Okay? You know, we were talking about surrender, right? Now, if there would have been just a strong push that I definitely need to go, this is from God, and I would have said, there's something wrong here. There's flesh involved. Because that's not how God works. God works with a still small voice, putting his finger on things. And then if it's God's will, all these things will just open and we don't have to try to break down doors to do anything, right? Okay? So guess what? We started praying, okay? And we prayed and prayed, and then we put it out to the rest of the leadership, and then we put it out to the whole church, and everything came back all clear. There he goes, okay? Okay, do you follow? Okay, when we make decisions, various decisions, I'm not here to indicate that all decisions have to go through the church. That's not what I'm here to lift up. There's certain varied degrees. We all make decisions every day. But do you see the principle? Did you get the heart of that? Okay, there's a total surrender. There's a total God, whatever you want me to do. And there's a sensitivity of is this from God? Is it not from God? There's a and then confirmations. It's not like we make decisions. We make decisions, and then that's I definitely heard from God. Well, praise God. I mean, I think all of us have clearly heard from God many times, but there's something about being open and sensitive to God, speaking and directing, putting his finger on things in our life, and then having it confirmed by various things, confirmations that come. I need to stop here, but there's many, many other things that, we could write on the board here. Father, we could put on here church authority and the various things to help us just see that there's times when those things are involved in making decisions. But I'd like for us to consider that, there's various examples in scriptures of authorities being involved in making decisions. Abraham was involved in Isaac getting a wife. In the book of Acts, chapter 15, there was decisions to be made about the circumcision, and it was brought to Jerusalem, and there's a whole assembly of elders and apostles were gathered together and sorting through those things. But there again, you know, I'm not here to promote a blind submission, a blind, if the church says something or if dad says something, that's definitely the will, you know, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm trying to lift up a sensitivity and an ability to sort through things with our authorities and those types of things. That's what I'm trying to lift up. Most of us that are here, there is a time that we weren't satisfied, or we felt like there's leadership in the church that we're going in the wrong direction, that we needed to make decisions and place ourselves in different places. You know, I understand all that, okay? But do you follow what I'm trying to lift up? When we make decisions, having an ability to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Lord bless you.